Chapter 14. There were worse things to eat for breakfast than a cold hamburger. That was what Erin told herself as she mechanically chewed and swallowed. For instance, there were rats. She could be eating rats, or nothing. That was even worse to eat because it was nothing. Erin didn't do well with cold mornings. She was like a lizard, which was not the same as a drake. She liked to laze around in the heat and the summer, and she was just a bit too lazy to bother with starting a fire, yet too cold to be entirely happy in her brand new inn. Kilbukich and the army of workers had left her quite a supply of firewood, but Erin just couldn't face up to the effort. Until she got really cold, and then she huddled around the fireplace with a half-eaten hamburger shivering in her blankets. When the inn was finally warm, Erin felt better about life. In fact, she felt great. She had a brand new inn, and she had a hamburger in her stomach, and a second one in her hands. Erin knew she should stop, but it was a hamburger. Actually, this one had cheese on it, so it was a cheeseburger, and Erin was tempted to make it a double cheeseburger. With bacon? No, she couldn't get too greedy, or she'd get fat, which was a problem. Why? Erin wrestled with her stomach for a few minutes before she just settled on eating her hamburger. She had work to do. Yesterday had been a day of triumphs, a day of exploding inns and rebuilding, and Erin was determined to stay on a roll. So the first thing she did was find her way to the kitchen and prepare for the day ahead.
Ground beef? Check. Lettuce? Check. Tomatoes? No one likes tomatoes.
Celis and Saria could take their tomatoes or leave them. Relk tossed his in the snow, and Kilbukich probably ate his because it was polite. Erin liked tomatoes, but if it could be left out of the sandwich, that was more money in her pocket and less money in people's stomachs. She had plenty of cheese, and she had eggs for making the patties. Spices? Right there. Erin tossed everything into her heavy shopping backpack. She could get more from Kershaya in the city, which was her destination. She looked around.
Hey, Torin, I'm going. Stay here.
Erin paused. That was when she remembered she didn't have a skeleton. She'd almost expected him to be here when she woke up, but he wasn't. Torin was gone.
Where'd you go, Tor? When I said go away, I just meant go away for a little while. Not forever.
He wasn't gone. Erin was sure of that. She was so sure, she abandoned her shopping pack and ran around. It took her a while to find her hammer and nails, thanks to Celis's reorganization, but she quickly nailed two boards together and made a clumsy arrow with some wood scraps. The place where her old inn had been was almost completely covered in snow when Erin found her way back. She stared around at the empty hilltop and remembered a dark inn as she ran, desperate and hurt through the night. Once, but not now. Her new inn was better, and it would be best when he returned. Erin raised the arrow made out of wood and planted it deep in the ground where her inn had been. It pointed roughly towards her new inn. Torin would see it and come back. She was sure of it. Erin was so sure that she made three more signs and placed them on hilltops around her inn, just in case Torin forgot which hill her inn had been on and got lost. It was lonely in her inn when Erin returned. It was beautiful, made of varnished, smooth wood. It even smelled nice. Again, thanks to the hamburger breakfast. But it was empty. All of Erin's friends had returned to the city, and Torin was missing. Ryoka was busy running up north, and Erin still had no customers. She'd fix that. Erin's face was determined as she hefted her pack full of hamburger components. It was time to visit the city. And how easy was it to get to Liscor? Erin felt like she'd barely stepped out of her inn before she was at the gates. It was 10 times better than her freezing trip of yesterday, but maybe that was also because she had warm clothing. All this purchasing of food and clothing was eating away at Erin's small cache of cash. But that was okay. She was in a good mood, and things were looking up.
Krishaya! Hey, how are you?
Erin smiled as she greeted the tall Knoll shopkeeper. Krishaya looked up from her stall, mildly surprised. Normally, Erin found her way to the market around midday at the earliest, but today she was here bright and early.
Erin, it is good to see you, yes? I heard you had much trouble yesterday.
Oh, you heard about that?
The guardsman, Relk. He came by quite drunk yesterday after talking about your inn that exploded, and then apparently was rebuilt in one day. He was quite drunk, yes? I wish to know if you were well. If you had not come today, I would have gone to look for you.
Aw, you're so nice. But I'm fine, and Relk was telling the truth. My inn did explode. It was totally gone when I got there. Boom! Half of it blown away. But then Kilbigach and the Antinium came by and rebuilt it somewhere else, on a hill closer to here, I mean. So, I've got a new inn. Isn't it great?
Kershaya sniffed the air and shrugged.
You are not drunk, so you have a new inn? That is good. I must see it soon and talk, yes? Your friend Ryoka has left, but I would speak to her as well.
Everyone wants to talk to me. Did you know I'm going to have a lot of workers in my inn? Kilbikich says he wants me to teach them how to play chess. Isn't that great?
Really? How strange.
Krishaya eyed Erin as the girl unslung her pack and edged over to one of the large braziers. She watched as Erin felt at the temperature of the coals and reached into her pack. She took a frying pan out of her pack, and after a few minutes of thinking, dragged the heavy brazier closer to Kershaya's stand.
What are you doing, Erin Solstice?
Oh, is it too close? Sorry, I forgot your shop is made of wood.
Erin adjusted the brazier, but Kershaya shook her head. She gestured in bemusement at Aaron's setup. Erin looked blank, and then smiled widely.
This? I'm going to cook something.
Really? Well, you may do so freely on this street, I suppose. The fee is 5 silver coins if you make over 4 golds worth of profit, though.
Erin didn't think that was a problem. It sounded fair. She looked around and realized she had a small problem.
You wouldn't happen to have a table I could borrow, would you? And maybe more coals? This is warm, but I want to refill it if it starts to cool down.
Kershaya nodded patiently and pointed to a folded-up section of wood leaning against her shop front.
I have both, but what is it you are doing, Erin?
Making hamburgers.
What is a hamburger? Is it made of pigs or boars?
Nope. At least, I don't think so. Let's just call it a cheeseburger instead.
Ah, so it is made of cheese?
Let me just get set up and I'll show you.
In quick order, Erin had all of her eggs in a row, her ground beef in the mixing bowl, and ingredients neatly packed off to one side of the table. The main space on the table was occupied by a bowl of mayo and ketchup she'd brought from her inn. She wrapped it with wax paper, but both condiments were slightly crusty. A spoon and some stirring solved that, and then Erin pulled out the platter. It was big and empty, and that was about to change. Erin took one of the patties she'd made out of ground beef and flipped it onto her frying pan. The metal had been resting on the coals, and it was so hot the meat hissed as it struck the pan's surface. Kershaya had been dealing with a Drake customer while she waited for Aaron's antics to start making sense, but when she heard the cooking meat, her ears pricked up. Erin fried her first hamburgers with an eye towards Kershaya's possible tastes, so it was barely a minute of cooking before she flipped the burger and let the heated metal take the patty just past uncooked to rare. She used a spatula to lever the juicy burger onto a waiting bun, add some lettuce and a bit of sliced onion, cheese, and then it was ready.
Burger time!
Erin presented her creation to Kershaya, and the Knoll eyed the dripping cheeseburger suspiciously. Suspiciously, but with definite interest.
What is this?
It's called a hamburger, or a cheeseburger. It's really good. Try it.
Kershaya took the hamburger with one paw. Erin had made her patties big, and her buns were equally generous. This was closer to a Burger King burger than the sad, small cheeseburgers you could get from McDonald's. Except that Erin's burger was even bigger. The meat was half the burger, not some lesser percentage. Even so, Kershaya's hand easily lifted the burger to her mouth. The gnoll hesitated and eyed Erin. Her Drake customer was watching the burger with interest. A drop of grease fell from the burger onto Kershaya's fur. She took a bite. Erin held her breath. But in her heart, she wasn't really worried, because she knew the truth. Maybe in this world, different species preferred a variety of foods, and it was true that chefs who had advanced cooking could probably create dishes Erin couldn't match, and possibly some inns had menus designed to cater to their clientele. But this was a hamburger. It had stayed as one of the world's greatest and most popular foods for over a century. The people of this world might have cuisine, but Erin had fast food. Their taste buds would never know what hit them. Kershaya's eyes widened as she chewed the burger. She stared at the colorful green lettuce, the cheese and onions, and then swallowed. Erin waited. Kershaya took another bite, and then another. She was done with the burger in under a minute, and when she licked at her palm, Erin knew she'd won. Other vendors on the street? They were about to go home hungry. The gnoll frying slices of meat? Good luck making that into a proper meal. The drake with kebabs? Prepare to be supersized. The other drake with hot cider? Actually, that sounded really good. Erin wanted to buy some. She thought about adding other dishes to her impromptu road stall, but she'd wisely decided that there wouldn't be enough space. Besides, while the brazier could make a great grill, pizzas required ovens. As for drinks, a burger wasn't complete without Coke or some other soft drink, but Ryoka hadn't been able to tell her what went into the magic caffeinated drink. Erin had an idea to use animal fat and copious amounts of sugar to create something similar, but no.
How is it?
Kershaya looked at Erin and smiled. It was the kind of smile that spoke for itself. She bared her teeth and grinned. Her tail was sending bits of snow flying. Erin smiled back. The drake shopping at Kershaya's stall looked between both grinning females.
I want one.
Celis found Erin nearly an hour later, and by that time, Erin had already been forced to migrate away from Kershaya's shop. Not because the other gnoll minded her cooking, it was just that Erin needed the space. She had a line. Drakes and gnolls lined up as she flipped hamburgers as fast as she could, and coins clinked into the jar she'd put on her table. From her spot at the back of the line, Celis could barely see Erin as the girl tried to juggle flipping burgers, collecting money, and talking to customers and explaining hamburgers all at once. The drake took a deep breath and then raised her voice as she pushed past customers in line.
Excuse me, I'd like to get through. I'm not looking to buy a burger. I know that human.
She elbowed her way to the front of the line. Erin looked up and wiped a bead of sweat off her face as she managed five burgers in her frying pan at once.
Oh, hey, Celis. Want a burger? Yes, please.
Celis turned and stuck her tongue out as the drakes and gnolls shouted and complained further down the line. And when a drake stuck out her tongue, it went a lot further than a human one.
You look busy.
Yeah? Erin raised her eyebrows as she fumbled a hamburger on a plate and gave it to a drake. The orange-scaled drake tasted the burger experimentally and then, apparently satisfied with the taste, bit into it as he walked down the street.
Yeah, you look like you're overwhelmed. Need a friendly tail?
Erin nearly dropped her frying pan in the lit brazier. She wanted to hug Celis.
You're the best person ever. But don't you have work?
Celis shook her head.
It's my day off. Here, I'll take over at the table. You just flip that meat.
Can do. Celis found a chair Erin hadn't had the pleasure of using yet and took a seat. She stared at the messy table. Ingredients mixed with some of the coins that had fallen from the jar. Grease was coating the snow, and Aaron had painted a clumsy hamburger on a sign and written a price next to it. Celis regarded the price and shook her head. She crossed out the number on Aaron's sign and doubled it. Aaron frowned at Celis.
Celis, that's expensive.
It's worth it, and people will pay. Or do you see anyone leaving?
Aaron did not, although Celis was getting a lot of casual glares from her customers. But the line moved a lot faster now that Aaron didn't have to do more than concentrate on cooking. She slapped burgers together as fast as she could and reflected that when all was said and done, she was working in the fast food industry. Just like her teachers always told her she would if she didn't study in school. The only difference here was that Aaron was making money, hand over fist, or claw, or furry paw. Knowles and Drakes both loved the hot food. Aaron had quickly learned that both species had a soft spot for hamburgers, but they liked their food cooked very differently. Drakes preferred their burgers well done, which was to say fully cooked and even black in places. It didn't seem to bother them that much, but Knowles were an entirely different customer. They liked their burgers hot, but still rare enough to be bloody. It was the rare Knoll who requested Aaron cook theirs longer. They came for the shopping, but almost all of the customers in the market that day left with a burger. Aaron had figured out the best way to serve her burgers was with a bit of wax paper so it could be held without spilling hot grease onto palms. You could even wrap it up and take it somewhere else. Definitely a selling point. The line didn't seem to get shorter no matter how many burgers Aaron flipped. Word was spreading about the human with the meat sandwich, as she heard it described, and it wasn't long after Celis joined that she heard a familiar voice.
She's here! She has burgers!
Relk's unmistakable voice rang through the crowd, and not a second later, she saw him and a few other guardsmen at the back of the line. The guardsmen, and one female Knoll, stared in bemusement as Relk yelled at Aaron.
I want 5! No, 6!
She waved at him, which Relk apparently took as encouragement. He began pushing his way through the line, shouting,
Watch business! Move aside!
He encountered a lot more resistance than Celis did, but eventually Relk was panting and staring greedily at burgers as Aaron loaded them onto a plate. He reached into his belt pouch and began to count out coins.
You can get me my burgers and pay me 5 silver coins, since I know you've earned enough already.
Thanks, Relk.
Aaron got no further before Relk snatched a burger from the plate and tried to fit the entire thing in his mouth. He pretty much succeeded, although Celis looked away with disgust as he chewed with his mouth open.
Oh, delicious!
Aaron eventually managed to shoo Relk away with more burgers for the other guardsmen. She heard Celis apologizing to the next customer, mainly in the sense of grumbling about rude guardsmen, and looked at her raw patty stack.
Uh-oh, I'm running out of ground beef again! Kershaya!
The Knoll appeared with more ingredients, fresh from some butcher's shop. She and Aaron had a good system going on. Aaron paid her, and Kershaya gave her everything she needed. Maybe a less trusting partnership would have had Kershaya raising prices, but in this case, she was still making quite a lot acting as a supplier for Aaron's burger needs. Aaron mixed a new batch of ground beef into patties, watched by hungry customers and curious shopkeepers. Kershaya eyed Aaron's preparation with some consternation, but by that point, Aaron had already made the patties and it was too late for the Knoll to interject. Egg, spices, thick patty that made some of the Knolls in line start to drool. Aaron blessed her basic cooking skill because it made the process nearly automatic. She didn't have to concentrate as hard, and she knew roughly when the burgers were ready. It was great. She raised her voice as she smiled at her line of customers.
All right, who's next?
Her question nearly caused a brawl. 5 hours later, Aaron wondered what would happen if she fainted into the brazier. Would she wake up before Celis pulled her out or burned to death? She was dog-tired, which wasn't an insult to Knowles. Aaron kept telling Kershaya that. It was just that she'd been standing in the same place making food all day long. Even with help, Aaron was nearly ready to fall over. She'd enlisted Celis as a full-time assistant just to take down orders and help prepare ingredients. Celis didn't have any cooking skills, but she was competent enough, and she was better at keeping order than Aaron was. And without Celis, Aaron would have been buried by the amount of orders she'd received. The morning rush had turned into the midday rush, which had gradually transitioned into the evening rush. But there were quieter points, mainly when customers staggered away from Aaron's stall, clutching at their groaning stomachs. As it turned out, Aaron had made one mistake with her setup. Her bowl of condiments had been well-received, although her customers just dipped their burgers in the mayonnaise and ketchup. But she didn't have nearly enough. She'd run out of ketchup long ago, and the mayonnaise was only a mix of burger bits at the bottom of the bowl. And though Aaron knew how to make more of each, she wasn't keen on preparing anymore, even if she'd had access to the ingredients. As it turned out, ketchup was hard and annoying to make. It was just the sort of thing she'd have gotten Torin to do, if he was still at the inn. The thought made Aaron depressed. But the next customer who appeared at her stall immediately blew any thoughts of her skeleton out of her head.
Oh, Celis, you're working here?
Hawk, it's rare to see you in the market. You normally shop elsewhere, right?
I do, but I heard there was something good to eat today. What's this?
Aaron leaned against the edge of the brazier and yelped. She kept forgetting that the metal was hot. She needed a stool or something to rest her aching feet. She heard Celis talking with her customer, but Aaron had heard enough explanations to tune out most of the words.
It's called a hamburger, but it doesn't have any ham in it. It's meat with bread and lettuce, onions, and cheese. If you add cheese, it's called a cheeseburger.
How is it?
Try it for yourself. It's only a silver coin.
That was extraordinarily expensive, given the cost of the ingredients. But Celis kept on raising the price of the burgers without issue. She heard the customer fishing in his belt pouch and then the clink of a coin.
Thanks. Now, do you want your burger cooked fully or raw?
Cooked, thanks.
Aaron, I got it.
Aaron had already added a patty to her pan. She mechanically flipped the burger, listening to this Hawk and Celis talk. She finished the burger, tossed it on the pre-assembled bun, and put it on the serving plate. She held it out, and then froze, as for the first time, she actually looked at her customer. A tall rabbit man stood in front of the stall, smiling at Aaron. He was a rabbit, but he was shaped like a man. He stood on two legs, slightly curved forwards like a minotaur's, with huge feet. They looked like paws, and Aaron noticed he wasn't wearing shoes so much as coverings made from leather. His fur was light brown with dark spots. He had one over his eye, which was pointed like a rabbit's, and he had a pink nose. Aaron nearly squealed or screamed or something when she saw that. Hawk had two long, floppy ears that stuck out over his head, and he was clothed in loose clothing. He had pants and a shirt, which did not disguise the fact that this rabbit was ripped. That threw Aaron, as did the muscles on his arms.
You're Aaron? Nice to meet you. I'm Hawk.
Hawk, the rabbit man, smiled in a friendly way at Aaron, although his eyes were on the burger on the plate. Aaron gaped at him. Celis coughed.
Hawk is a beastkin, Aaron. I'm not surprised you haven't met him before. He's always running around the city.
Aaron heard her, but she was still caught on his name. She repeated the word incredulously.
Hawk?
The furry rabbit in front of Aaron scratched at one cheek with a furry hand. He completely misinterpreted Aaron's reaction to his name.
My parents were from Lascaur, but they had no idea what kind of names my species used, so they chose Hawk. I would have preferred Hawks, but what can you do?
Oh, and, what do you do?
Erin could think of nothing else, only that she wanted to continue talking to Hawk as long as possible. She could hear a voice in her head. No, a song. Winnie the Pooh. Winnie the Pooh. If she saw a stuffed yellow bear, she was going to lose her mind. But Hawk was real in a different way. He wasn't like Rabbit, more like the rabbit version of Usain Bolt. Yeah, that was probably closer. Hawk rolled his shoulders and shrugged. He smiled again, exposing a row of teeth, which Erin had always wanted a bunny.
I'm a courier.
Erin paused. She tried to remember what that was. Some kind of runner? It sounded important.
That's cool. Do you see a lot of different places?
Hawk looked slightly crestfallen that Erin wasn't more impressed.
No. We run long-distance deliveries, from city to city.
Oh, like city runners.
Celis bit back a laugh. Hawk looked amused and shook his head.
We're a bit more important than city runners. Couriers are rare. There are less than 100 of us on the continent, I think. We take big jobs or none at all.
Whoa, so you're like special runners? How far do you run?
On any given delivery, I'll go around 1,000 miles. Sometimes 2 if it's round trip. It's a dangerous job, but rewarding. Of course, I can protect myself. I'm considered...
Hawk suddenly froze, and his body was suddenly tensed, low. Erin had heard the loud crack of wood on wood, too, but it was Hawk's reaction that surprised her. He hadn't moved so much as instantly changed positions. He was staring down the street at the source of the noise. A gnoll was tossing slats of wood onto a cart. The sound was loud, but Erin had heard much of the same all day. But Hawk's ears twitched violently every time the wood slapped together and he winced.
Ugh, I wish they wouldn't do that.
Okay, he was jumpy as a rabbit and fast as lightning. Erin stared at Hawk, forgetting completely about everything else. And he had a tail! A tail! He started grumbling about inconsiderate gnolls and drakes while Celis edged over to Erin. The drake elbowed her in the side.
Don't touch his tail. Remember Cullis?
But it looks so fluffy and poofy and...
Erin couldn't tear her eyes away from the fuzzy tail that protruded from Hawk's pants. Celis rolled her eyes and twitched her own tail.
Maybe you want to explain why you live in Lascaur, Hawk. Erin has since seen many beastkin here.
He nodded. It seemed like he was used to the question.
Well, I live here. I was born and raised in Lascaur ever since I was a kid, and it's where I'm comfortable. My original parents left me here, and a drake couple took me in. Lascaur's my home and where I love to live. Most of the time.
He eyed the gnoll who'd made the noise severely. Celis rolled her eyes.
I still don't know how you manage to sleep at night. There's noise all the time. How do you sleep?
Soundproofing spells. It's costly, but I make more than enough to pay for the magic.
There you have it, Erin. Our resident courier is afraid of loud noises. Try not to shout around him.
Hawk glared at Celis, but with no real intensity in it. He seemed to be a good-natured rabbit. Erin was still staring at his tail.
I'm not just a courier. I'm trying to become a chef as well.
Right. And you're doing research today?
Maybe I would if I ever got to eat this delicious thing.
Hawk stared longingly at the burger on the plate, but he was too polite to take it. Celis nudged the human at her side.
The burger, Erin?
Oh, right. Sorry.
Erin remembered why Hawk was here and held the burger out to him. It was still warm, thankfully, and Hawk eyed the rising steam appreciatively.
This is good. I'm glad I came.
Erin watched Hawk bite into his burger and chew, her jaw slack. Celis stepped on her foot again, and that shut Erin up long enough for Hawk to say goodbye.
It was nice meeting you, Miss Erin. If you ever need a long-distance delivery, ask for me at the Runner's Guild, okay? I'll give you a discount, especially if you have more of these burgers.
He stepped away and then sprang down the street. There was no other word for it. His powerful legs blurred, and he covered more distance with every step than Erin would with five of hers. And he was fast. In an instant, he'd rounded the corner and was out of sight.
No wonder I never see him.
Erin breathed out the words as she stared at the place Hawk had been. She turned and looked at Celis.
You never told me there was a talking rabbit in Lescore!
Celis looked perplexed. She looked at the empty street and shrugged.
What? Hawk? He's part of the city, and he's always in and out. Why? Is he special? He's a rabbit! A bunny!
Erin couldn't even find the words to explain why that was special. Talking drakes? Okay. Gnolls? Totally normal. But bunny men?
If you're interested in him, forget it. He likes drakes, not gnolls or humans.
Again, that statement threw Erin off a cliff, metaphorically speaking. She hadn't even considered... No. And what was that?
He likes drakes? But he's a bunny. Don't call him that to his face. He gets touchy. And he's not a courier for nothing. When the undead attacked, he killed one of those crypt lords, and quite a few undead by himself. He carried over 100 people out of harm's way as well.
What?
Yeah, he's strong. Don't let Relk hear you, but he's probably one of the few people who could bother Relk. And if it came to a chase, I'd put money on Hawk.
And he likes drakes?
I said that. Too bad drakes don't like him back.
Erin couldn't cope. She shook her head.
He's a cool guy. Fluffy, nice. Why don't any female drakes like him?
Celis looked awkward.
No reason. Well, I mean, it's not like he's a bad guy. You couldn't ask for a nicer beastkin, but he doesn't eat meat. Or rather, he doesn't eat much meat.
I saw that. He ate meat. But what's the problem with not eating meat? That's not a problem, right?
It sort of is. We drakes can eat vegetables. We just don't like to like he does. And all he keeps offering us are dishes with carrots in them.
Carrots?
It was too good to be true, but Celis just looked disgusted.
It's all he likes to make. Couldn't he try something else when he's courting? But no, it's all carrots. Carrot pies, carrot soup, carrot salads, raw carrots, noodles and carrots, carrots baked into bread.
Shrimp gumbo, pan-fried shrimp, deep-fried shrimp, shrimp sandwich, shrimp burger.
What are you talking about?
Just a joke. Sorry.
Anyways, we think it's bland and not too good. If he could make the food sweeter or more savory...
What about carrot cake? That's sweet.
What's that?
Erin sighed as she realized this was yet another thing she had yet to introduce to this world. Cake. Well, she was pretty sure she needed baking powder for that. Maybe Ryoka could help. That would be amazing, because Erin missed cake almost more than she missed ice cream. Sweet things were harder to come by in this world, especially anything made with sugar. Sugar itself was wickedly expensive. Not that Erin remembered how much sugar cost when she went shopping at Meyer's or at Costco. She missed Costco. There was something nice about a store where you could buy a 50-pound bag of sugar and no one looked at you as if you were weird. Then again, it was nice going to Costco when your parents paid for your membership and not you.
I just can't believe it. A bunny!
Rabbit! The correct term is the long-eared tribe of the beastkin. But that's too much work to say.
Right, right.
but he's so fluffy. You keep saying that, but why does it matter?
It just does. Now, are you going to tell me more about him, or am I...
Aaron trailed off. Market Street was usually full of people, but there was a lull in the crowds, and at the edge of the street, she could see into a distant alleyway. Someone was crouching in the shadows of a building. A girl, dressed in ragged clothes, stared hungrily at the shops. Her face was thin, and she might have been beautiful if she was clean. She had bright red hair, dirty from being unwashed. She was staring right at Aaron's stand, where the smell of cooked meat was permeating the air. For an instant, her eyes met Aaron. There was animosity in her bright blue eyes. But when she realized Aaron was looking at her, the girl's eyes widened in panic.
Aaron? What are you looking at?
I just saw...
When she looked again, the filthy girl was gone. Aaron paused and wondered if she was going crazy. But maybe the girl was some kind of orphan, like Hawk? Whoever she was, she looked cold and hungry.
Never mind. I thought I saw a customer.
We're running out. Might be a good time to call it a day. I know my tail is sore.
Celis stretched and took a few steps as Aaron wondered if the girl was going to come back. She probably didn't have any money, but if Aaron saw her, she'd give her a burger for free. She spoke to Celis, still watching the alleyway.
When do we quit?
When you get tired, or when we stop getting customers.
Aaron glanced at her table.
We're out of ketchup.
I'm not making any more.
That's fair.
Celis came to warm herself at the brazier. Aaron eyed her and tried to speak nonchalantly.
So, bunnies?
Rabbits, Aaron! It's rude to say...
I know! I won't say it around him, but he's so quick, and he's ripped!
He does have a good body.
And he's nice. I can't believe it never works out with other drakes.
We try now and then, but you know, it just doesn't work out. Every time it ends badly with him. Take me, for instance. We were together for only 2 weeks before we broke up.
Wait, what?
2 hours later, Aaron walked back to her inn. She wasn't alone.
So, you sold how many burgers?
Aaron had to think. Her arms were so tired that Saria had offered to carry Aaron's mostly empty shopping bag back, but Aaron had refused. Saria might be well enough to leave the guardhouse, but she was still thinner than was healthy.
I think 1,000? It feels like that. Probably closer to 600. Maybe 8?
For a city with just over 100,000 souls, that's a really good profit.
Yeah, but... A lot of people came back for seconds or thirds. Relk ate 8 in total.
I can just imagine, but I'm truly glad it was a success. Even in the barracks, I heard people talking about your food. Unless some tried to get one for us, but the line was too long.
That's too bad. I'll invite him over tomorrow and I'll make you guys as many hamburgers as you want.
Saria waved her good hand at Aaron.
You don't have to do that. Really, I feel bad imposing as it is. I can't pay you right now.
Are you kidding? I don't have to worry about money ever if I keep making this much every day.
Aaron indicated the jar she'd filled to the brim and her bulging coin pouch. She'd had a red-letter day today, she could tell, even without counting the exact amount of her profits. Aaron had sent Celis off with enough silver coins to make the Drake walk awkwardly down the street. It was just as well the watch had a strong presence in Lascaux, Celis had said, or she'd have been really worried. They came to the inn quite quickly. Aaron was all too glad, because it meant she could put away her stuff in the kitchen. She still slept there, out of force of habit more than anything else.
Take any room you want upstairs. I'd like to chat or something, but...
I was so tired. You go to sleep.
Thank you again for letting me stay here. Aaron waved a hand at Saria and yawned hugely.
You want food?
I got food if you didn't have dinner.
I'm fine, really. Thanks, Aaron.
Aaron went to bed smiling. Her inn felt a lot less lonely with someone else in it. She wondered what Torin would think when the skeleton got back. Hopefully he wouldn't bother Saria too much. The coins she'd earned were safely stored under a floorboard in the kitchen. Aaron had seen that on TV once, so she'd asked Pawn to install one, which meant that if anyone ever robbed her, she'd have to start looking at workers funny. But Aaron was tired, and even thoughts of her missing skeleton and thoughts of Antinium sneaking into houses and robbing people blind couldn't keep her awake. She drifted off peacefully and slept well. Until she heard Saria screaming. The sound woke Aaron up from a pleasant dream about playing chess in Burger King. She heard Saria's voice cut through the night, high-pitched and shrill. Aaron reacted with a speed born out of panic. She always kept a frying pan out on a counter, and it was that she seized as she charged out of the kitchen. She had no idea what was attacking Saria, but she didn't hesitate as she dashed up the stairs. She'd put Saria in the furthest room from the staircase, because the half-elf had insisted she didn't want to take any space. Aaron ran into the room and saw Saria sitting half-naked in bed, clutching at her hand and screaming. Nothing was attacking her, but her eyes were wide with panic and fear.
Saria, what's wrong?
The half-elf's head turned towards Aaron. She didn't seem to quite see Aaron, but she clearly realized someone was in her doorway. Saria shrieked and turned towards Aaron, eyes wide with horror. Her skeletal hand rose and the fingers moved. Saria pointed at Aaron and the girl ducked. A spike of ice caught some of Aaron's hair and ripped it out as it struck the far wall and embedded itself in the new wood. Aaron crawled to the door, heart pounding out of her chest. She scrambled outside and tried to make herself as small of a target as possible.
Saria! It's okay! It's just me!
Aaron shouted as she curled up into a ball on the far side of the wall. She wasn't sure if the ice spike could penetrate the thick walls, but prayed Saria wouldn't fire again. Mercifully, she didn't. Aaron heard Saria draw in a shaking breath, and then her voice.
Aaron! Oh, ancestors! What am I? Aaron!
I'm okay!
Aaron crawled past the doorway and waved her hands to reassure Saria. Her friend's face was deathly white.
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean... I thought you were...
Saria choked as she reached out for Aaron. The girl immediately stood up and went to her. Saria was shaking so hard the bed was moving.
It's okay, really. It was just a spell. Are you okay? What happened? A dream. Just a dream.
Saria shook her head and kept on shaking.
I nearly killed you.
But you didn't. And your hand. Saria, did you see?
But Saria wasn't listening. She started to struggle in her sheets, trying to get up.
I'll go. I can't stay. I'm a threat to you and...
No!
Aaron caught Saria by the wrists. The blackened skin on her right hand was deathly cold and clammy to the touch, but Aaron ignored it. She looked into Saria's eyes, trying to breathe calmly. Her heart was still racing.
Saria! No! It was an accident. Stay, please. I don't blame you.
I'm so sorry.
Tears rolled down her cheeks as Saria looked at Aaron.
I'm so sorry. So sorry.
Aaron hesitated and then hugged Saria. The half-elf shuddered at the contact, but didn't push Aaron away. She just trembled in Aaron's arms. She kept repeating the words.
I'm so sorry.
Aaron didn't think she was just talking about nearly hitting Aaron with the spell. She held her as the night deepened and Saria wept. It was a long time before Saria could collect herself enough to stop shaking. She and Aaron sat on her bed as the half-elf stared at her hands, one good, one dead.
"I thought I was back in the coffin, only this time Skinner found me and opened the lid."
Aaron shuddered. Just the thought of his dead body made of skin made her stomach clench.
"I don't blame you for attacking. If it were me, I'd throw everything I had, and I'd probably have hit you with my unerring aim skill and all that. Actually, it's a good thing you were the one who got scared, huh?"
Saria laughed shakily, but it was a laugh, and that's what Aaron wanted. She stared at her dead hand and shook her head.
"I thought I was still back down there with the others. I thought they needed my help. They're dead. I keep forgetting."
Aaron's heart caught in her chest. She closed her eyes for a second.
I...
She let the word trail off. There was nothing she could really say. Saria was silent too, but then she raised her arm and stared at her limp skeletal hand, protruding from the blackened flesh. It had been days, but the skin wasn't rotting, and the bone still looked... normal.
"My hand...
it moved!"
Aaron was sure of it. It had been just an instant, but you didn't tend to forget a near-death experience.
"You moved your hand. Was it with magic?"
"No, at least I didn't try to intentionally, but I must have used some, I guess. My arm, I didn't think the bones could still move."
The yellow bones didn't so much move as twitch. Aaron looked at Saria's hand uncertainly.
Is it because you know magic? Or maybe Pisces did something to it?"
"Pisces can't take control of a living body part, or even one attached to a living one."
Saria shook her head.
"Then is it because you're a mage?"
"No, it must be because I'm a half-elf."
"Half-elves are immortal?"
"Hardly."
Aaron felt Saria chuckle.
"No, we're just as mortal as any other species, although we live longer, but our bodies are closer to magic in nature. We can do things that other species can't. This must be one of them. It also explains why my hand is in one piece, even though the flesh is gone."
That was odd, now that Aaron thought about it. She looked hesitantly at Saria's hand and chanced a question.
How did you lose it? Was it fighting Skinner?"
"Not quite."
Saria's mouth twisted in self-derision.
"I was too frightened to fight him. I couldn't even raise my wand. No, Yvlon and some adventurers were trying to get out, and there were a bunch of undead in the way. I used a spell, and the backlash froze my hand off."
"A spell can do that?"
"Some can. It was bad magic, the spell I used."
"But you saved them. That's not bad magic. Or was it like necromancy? Pisces does that, and he's not bad, just annoying."
Saria laughed again. Aaron's attempts to reassure her seemed to be cheering her ever so slightly.
"No, I mean, it was badly done. I was trying to cast Glacial Spear. It's an advanced form of ice spike, but I failed."
"Oh?"
Aaron didn't get it.
"But you cast the spell."
"Incorrectly. The way I did it, I just poured magic into an oversized ice spike spell. I used all my remaining mana up in one go, which was a stupid idea."
"Why's that? Isn't it good to do that? I mean, if you could use a really big spell, why not do that all the time?"
Saria chuckled now, and Aaron was glad her stupid questions were making the half-elf feel better. They sat together in the bed as Saria's breathing finally calmed down.
"If mages could use up all their magic in a single spell, we'd be even more dangerous than we are. Imagine an army of mages that could devastate an army in a moment. No, spells are a lot more complex than that.
How so? Erin had resigned herself to never being a mage, but she was intensely curious about magic all the same. Saria explained, it seemed to be easier for her to lecture than think about anything else.
There's a limit to how much mana we can infuse into a spell. Think of a spell as a container. The good ones can hold a lot of magic and require a lot to activate, but a bad spell can't handle that much magic. You can overcharge any spell in theory if you have enough magic, but too much and...
She gestured to her hand.
But that's the odd thing. You said I moved it, and I cast magic with it. I shouldn't be able to cast Ice Spike without injuring myself, not without a wand. But this...
She tried to flex her skeletal hand, Erin saw. But though Saria's face twisted with pain, the bony fingers didn't so much as move.
There's something here. If I can still use magic with two hands and not just one, maybe...
Erin didn't like that train of thought. It sounded too active and not nearly like the restful, peaceful thoughts she wanted Saria to have. But then someone shouted outside and Erin felt Saria tense up again.
Erin! Saria!
It was a familiar voice, and it came from just outside. Erin heard furious pounding at the door, and then she heard someone throw it open. She'd forgotten to lock the door. Again! Whoever was downstairs pounded into the kitchen first and then came up the stairs two at a time. Erin heard someone running down the hallway, and then Olessa appeared in the doorway.
Miss Erin! Saria! You won't believe what I... Oh.
Olessa paused awkwardly in the doorway. Erin was still in her pajama clothes and semi-decent, but Saria preferred to sleep only in her underwear. She pulled the sheets up around her chest, and Olessam turned away, blushing.
Blight and rot, Olessam. You've seen me naked before, and bleeding. Stop blushing and tell us what's wrong. Is it more undead?
Olessam turned and shook his head.
No, maybe it's something we found in the city. You see, after the watch cleared up the ruins, Savara was really worried more undead might appear. So she got the council to find where we keep our histories. Well, we had to dig back to the oldest archives in some dusty house, but we found something about the ruins.
What?
Olessam's eyes were wide with excitement. He gestured, trying to make sense while words spilled over each other.
They found a map. It shows the ruins, as well as the locations of other buildings underground. Apparently, the ruins we found was a tomb, and Skinner was assigned to guard it.
Saria's fists, both of them clenched in the sheets.
So he wasn't just a monster that found his way in there. What else?
Olessam paused.
It says he was one of the protectors of the tombs. But that was only a building for commoners. But it's the rest that's really serious. You might want to sit down.
Saria snapped at Olessam.
We are sitting! Spit it out!
Olessam took a deep breath, and when he spoke, his voice only trembled slightly.
The tombs are only a small part of the ruins. There are more... underground, they're all over the place. But that's not the big thing. In the references, we found a passage we could read. It lists the titles of those placed in the ruins to guard them forever. And he's there too. Skinner, Fleshworm, Lesser Guardian of the Crypt.